Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Voice of Indie. Your hosts today are Beam Weeks, author, producer, and marketing monster for independent multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group, and Stephen Gies, author, producer, composer, and publisher for Fresh Ink Group.
And good Wednesday evening, everybody. Welcome to the Voice of the Podcast. I am your host, Beam Weeks, and this is episode number 86, and this is going to be a fun episode. This is the crossover episode, and with me is Mr. Stephen Gies, who was just over there on the other episode. So tell us about your experience, Stephen.
Oh, it was brutal. Those people, they just they ask you questions, expect you to know the answers and something like that. It was a lot of fun. Rob and Joan, they know their stuff. They're great authors. Both of us have known them for maybe at least close to 10 years, I would think. They got some good novels out there, and they've got a great podcast, good authors, indie authors every week. It was a treat to be on the show, and if you missed it, I encourage people to get out there and find it in their archives, and they're all over the place. So if you have trouble finding it, send us a note with our contact form, and we'll point you the way.
Yeah, that was a fun to watch that, to watch the video aspect of it. We do this show every week, but it's just the audio. But it was fun to watch the video aspect of it and to see the interactions from people with their comments on there, too. So that was really cool.
Yeah, I had to decide what shirt to wear. That's kind of weird for me. Went and combed my hair. I mean, it was just mayhem before showtime here.
Well, we do have our guests on the line. They are on hold right now, and we'll bring them in here in a little bit. And get the crossover event of the year.
So. Yeah, let's get our announcements out of the way and get them in here.
All righty.
You've had good weather. I've had good weather. I want to recommend, and I think you're going to recommend it too, The Adam Project on Netflix.
Oh, it's definitely an excellent movie. Excellent. The way I describe
enjoyed that movie.
It's Back to the Future meets Star Wars. So, I mean, there's just some really cool stuff in there, and it's funny, it's humorous, and it's serious. And
great characters. Ryan Reynolds is always a very likable lead actor, and Walker Scobell, who plays the same character Ryan Reynolds plays, but at the age of 12, and they're in the scenes together, which is very cool. You get to see them playing each other, and they both do a good job. I mean, Reynolds, you can see him in the kid, and the kid, you can see him in Reynolds, but it's a great story. It's science fiction. It's, you know, there's going to be battles and suspense and thriller kind of stuff, but it's a very personal story too. It's about self-healing, about family healing and accepting who you are and, you know, looking at yourself 30 years from now and thinking, is that who I want to be? It's just a great movie. And I understand it's one of Netflix's most popular movies right now. So it's The Adam Project. That's my recommendation.
Yeah. I recommend it too. Now, listeners, as usual, per usual, if you would like to join in on the conversation, and I hope you will pick up that phone and call in tonight, or if you want to leave a comment or a question on Twitter, that's hashtag Fresh Ink Group, and we'll see it. But here's how you can do this.
Call 516-453-9902 right now and join us on air or tweet us with the hashtag Fresh Ink Group in the body and we'll read your comment or question live. That's 516-453-9902 or hashtag Fresh Ink Group.
Phones tonight, people.
All right. So we have an announcement. The Ort Federation to the Stars, the second Ort Chronicle, is being released tomorrow. It is in pre-sale right now. You can find all of the editions, hardcover, softcover, and ebooks out there at all of the retailers. There's one little nif now about Amazon right now is that if you search for the title, all three editions will come up. But if you go to one edition and you click see other editions, right now they've got the two prints together and the ebook together, and we're working on that and expect to have that resolved in the next couple of days. But you might have to hunt around a little bit if you don't see the edition you want, but that's The Ort Federation to the Stars, the second Ort Chronicle, which is the sequel to Robert G. Willis Cross' Icicle, A Tensor Matrix, the first Ort Chronicle. Excellent book. That first book got a lot of great reviews, very popular. Now the second book is being released tomorrow. You can go pre-order your copy right now.
Get over there, reorder it. And Patricia A. Guthrie's Eerie Charms of the Short Story is out. It is out, so get over to Amazon and grab a copy. I've read it. I edited it, and I can, and I'm not just saying this because I did the editing on it. Patricia is an excellent writer. She's a stellar storyteller. So get over
great storyteller.
Get over there and grab a copy. This is a really cool collection of short stories, and you're going to like them. Some of them are even micro short, but they're still entertaining, and then there's some longer ones. So get over there and grab a hold of that. And if you missed an episode of this show, you can always find us in the archives, and here's where to look.
If you miss a show, find us in the archive in the Fresh Ink Group channel on YouTube, on Spotify, or under the podcast tab at freshinkgroup.com, beamweeks.com, and stephengees.com. On YouTube, be sure to like and subscribe.
All right.
All right. So we've been really busy here at Fresh Ink Group. We've picked up 5 more books in the last 2 days, and that brings us up to right now we've got 24 books in the pipeline. And I had been trying to work ahead on the cover since I'm having surgery next week and have been told I need to take it easy for at least a week afterwards. And good for Robert G. Williscroft because he's always looking for covers, and I managed to get ahead on a couple of his covers. We're excited about this. We're picking up lots of books. The word of mouth is terrific, and we appreciate all of you out there for helping us spread the word and getting that done.
Yeah, and also keep in mind Jenny Wang's website is now up and running, jennywangauthor.com. And you can go over there and you can order an autographed, inscribed hardcover copy of her book, Girl Wears Those Shoes. So get over and check that out. Now, we have a newsletter. Most people who subscribe to it know about it, but if you're not subscribed to it, you don't know about it. Here's how you can subscribe to it, and you're going to want to subscribe to it because it's got all kinds of cool writerly stuff, videos, all kinds of cool stuff.
And the link to this podcast every week.
And the link to this podcast every week.
Stay on top of these podcasts and all things Fresh Ink Group with our weekly digital newsletter, new releases, videos, stories, excerpts, interviews, and more. Sign up now on the homepage of freshinkgroup.com and be the one who knows what's what.
What? So we've announced in the last couple of weeks that since I'm going to be having surgery next week, we weren't sure what we were going to do in the first show after that. I have been advised that I'm going to have trouble talking. So we got to hunting through our other archives, and we found where I had created some how-to videos under the G's Writer brand name in the past for a book club that we used to belong to. So we dusted a couple of those off, and they were covered with dust, I'm telling you. And I think there might have been mites on one of them. We dusted those off, turned them into audio versions. So for the April 6th show, we are going to be live. Beam is going to be hosting, and he's going to play 2 how-tos that are written and read by me. And then if I can call in and participate in the discussion, great. If I can't, I'll just listen in. But it's about 40 minutes worth, I think, of information. So there's plenty of room for people to call in, ask questions, make comments. And Beam knows this material, too. So you can ask all your questions of him as well. So we're looking forward to that. That's April 6th, creating characters, and then realistically speaking, how to give them dialogue.
Yeah, and we will be giving away ebook copies of G's Writer's how-to stuff as well. So you can definitely want to tune in for that, and we will get you caught up on all of that. Now, if you're looking to publish, if you're looking to just have your manuscript looked over, here's how you can do that.
Check out freshinkgroup.com for everything publishing. Meet scores of authors. Discover hundreds of great books, plus audiobooks, podcasts, videos, trailers, free stories, free manuscript evaluations, and more. That's freshinkgroup.com.
All right. How about we bring our guests in?
Great. Several years ago, Rob and Joan Carter published their first book called Bioprints. The series follows Ryan O'Rourke, an insurance fraud investigator, and his team as they work to solve the murder of Ryan's best friend. This novel involves the black market trafficking of 3D-printed human body parts. Interesting. Flash Zombies and Clone Drones are books 2 and 3 in the series, with book 4 currently on the drawing board. In the works is a children's book that teaches the value of friendship and a paranormal book about many of their investigations.
Ooh.
They are also researching the Phoenician era during the time Jezebel was born, which will eventually become a book. At some point, they do plan to write a book about their family adventures, of which there have been many. Robin Joan also started the author promotion service Indie Book Source and hosts the weekly talk show Meet the Author podcast. They have 6 children and 14 grandchildren, which, if nothing else does, keeps them very busy. Welcome to the show, Robin Joan.
Welcome. Good to have you here.
It's good to be here.
Good to be here.
And after you read that, I'm exhausted.
So, yeah, there's a lot more work to do here.
Yeah, how about we tell everybody where are you from, where you live, where are you now, and get everybody caught up to speed in our audience.
Okay, well, I grew up in Chicago, suburbs, northern Indiana, and then over to Chicago. And
oh, I'm from Boston.
And then we met in Chicago.
Two great cities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've lived all over the place.
I lived in Mexico for 3 years.
Wow.
That
wow.
was fun.
Why was that? What's the story behind taking you to Mexico?
My first husband was studying medicine there at the Universidad de Guadalajara. Universidad Autónoma de Guadalajara.
That's beautiful, beautiful country down there.
Yeah, well, that was over 50 years ago, so it was very beautiful then, though. We had a friend who was from Peru. Actually, he was our doctor until he passed away from an autoimmune disease, but he married a girl from Guadalajara, and he would always tell me, you don't want to go back there. You'll be so sad when you see what it looks like.
Oh,
but actually,
too bad.
I wanted to go back there. Well, you know, we had a writer on from Guadalajara, actually on our show, an author, and a really interesting young man. And he said it has changed a lot. He didn't even know what it used to look like, all the huge avenidas with roses down the middle of them and stuff like that. But anyway, that was an interesting 3 years. So that's when I did that. And then Rob and I have lived all over the place.
Right. We finally settled down in Tampa area in Florida.
USA. We live near Beam.
Yeah.
We did live near Beam.
And we lived
in the early 80s.
We lived in Southern California, and our oldest daughter is married and still lives there in Orange County. And then we finally ended up here in Tampa for the last 25, 26 years.
Yeah, they're still chasing us.
Yeah.
Haven't seen them.
So are you north or south of the bay, or are you out inland more?
We're in the southeast Hillsborough County area.
Hillsborough, okay, yeah.
Just outside of Tampa.
Yeah,
I have several friends who live down there. Over on Twitter, Verwayne Greenhoe, who was participating in your show, says, welcome, Robin Joan. I enjoyed your show with At Stephen G's, and I look forward to talking with you tonight.
There you go.
All right.
We enjoyed having you in the audience.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, you know, when we had talked off the air here on Monday, you had mentioned, you know, you had lived in DeWitt, Michigan. And I'm very familiar with that. It's not too far from me at all. And you had mentioned the street that you lived down there, and I brought that up to my mother. And she said, well, that's where my uncle lived back in the 70s and through the 80s, I believe it was, on that street.
Wow.
On that street, and so he was our neighbor.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I believe it was. He was there in the 70s into the early 80s. He may have been gone by the early 80s, but I'm not sure. There in the 70s, so definitely in the 70s.
It was there on Lake Geneva, and not the one in Wisconsin, the one in DeWitt.
Or infamous.
It is a small world.
Yeah. So, Beam, you want to roll a commercial?
Sure. Why not? This is going to be for Robert G. Willicroft's Second Word Chronicle book.
Order now, release tomorrow.
Now, from science fiction master Robert G. Willicroft, the Oort Federation, to the stars, the Second Oort Chronicle. As the Oort Federation becomes a major force in the solar system, Braxton Thorpe passes the Federation chairmanship to former U.S. President John Butler. Thorpe's group offers humanity virtual immortality, but Isidore Orlov and his Udakhni Enterprises oppose their every move. While Thorpe's group terraforms Mars for more living space, the Mars Reds prove formidable as resistors. If the Asterian Starship fighter pilots are released, will they align with Phoenix or Udakhni? And who will develop the right FTL technology? In this tense space adventure, Thorpe, his team, and Max the Tabby Cat travel to Proxima Centauri and beyond to the Aster system, 84 light years distant. Will Thorpe bring together humans and Asterians in their quest for intergalactic travel? Will long life prove more than mere humans can handle? Grab Icicle, A Tensor Matrix, The First Oort Chronicle, and continue the journey with the Oort Federation to the stars. Proudly published in all print, digital, and sensory-enhanced audiobooks by Fresh Ink Group.
And what's the status of that audiobook, Beam?
We started at work on it, and we knocked out a couple of chapters on it yesterday. And so both of us were busy with these two shows today, so we didn't get at it. But hopefully it won't be too much longer. Once you get into them, you kind of move along pretty quick.
Yeah, they move along.
You can knock out a couple of chapters a day, so...
And I want to remind everybody that trailer you just heard is an actual video trailer, and it's in the Fresh Ink Group channel on YouTube, where we have about 75 book trailers that we've produced. In fact, if you subscribe to our newsletter, we put a link in the newsletter that you can go to and watch only the trailers back to back to back to back to back if you don't have a life.
Okay, now, Rob and Joan, you're both writers. And what kind of childhood did you... each of you have? Were you into reading and writing as a child, or was this something that came later?
Well, for myself, I think I was reading before I was five, and I've always told people that I always have to read, and if there's nothing else to read, I'll read the back of a toothpaste tube. I mean, I love to read, and I think most writers, too, start off as readers. You know, and that's where you fall in love with books. I mean, I loved G.K. Chesterton and Agatha Christie and Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. And I loved all of those mystery writers. I loved all of the sci-fi writers. I still love to read. It's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah, I'm pretty much the same way. I really loved reading when I was younger, and especially Edgar Rice Burroughs and Tolkien. And Tolkien really got me, because then I made up my own manuscript, made up my own world and everything. But unfortunately, it was very much like Tolkien. So, you know, that didn't fly, you know. But it was fun doing it. I, you know, drew up a map and everything, you know, and had it all nicely done. And that was back in... I guess it was early in high school when I did that, but yeah.
He still had it when I met him.
I did.
And I read it. Yeah, yeah. It wasn't worth bringing.
No, wait a minute.
But it was an important, necessary step.
He would have been sued for plagiarism. Yep. Let's put it that way.
Well,
I
think there's a lot of writers that go through that. You write something, and it's kind of based on what you've read until you start coming up with your own ideas.
Yep.
Right.
Now, we do have some comments here on Twitter. So I'm going to read a couple of these. Dr. Helen Burrell, she says, "Ouch, I expected subject at Stephen G's. You should have emphasized changed hour."
Yeah, she's got a newer one up above that. She was confused as to which show was in which time slot, I think.
All right.
Up above, she says, "Today's dazzling, daring duo writers, RC and JP Carter. I expect to enjoy this podcast because of their unique gifts and because of the kindly and daring inquisitors of Fresh Ink Group, Weeks and G's, who beam us up to quality writers.
Ooh, see what she did with the beans in there.
Yeah.
Now, Joe Conjo, he tweeted, if we call in, should we mute the volume on the broadcast because of any feedback? Yes, when we if you call in, you'll be on hold. But when we get to you, you're definitely going to want to mute your background so that there isn't it's not necessarily feedback, it's echo.
It's delay.
You hear this delay. So,
but Joe, while you're on hold, you're listening to the show through the phone.
You can hear the show on your phone while you're on hold when you call in. So call in.
We're looking forward to talking to you.
All right. Now, how about we talk about hobbies and interests? How do you spend your spare time, like paranormal investigations?
Yeah,
we might do that.
Yes. A lot of our time is spent on paranormal investigations. And even when we go on vacation, we bring our equipment with us and we always investigate. We have a travel trailer and we've traveled across the country and back. And most national sites have ghost stories to tell, and we always go and talk to the rangers and we ask them if we can investigate, and they're always happy to let us do it, and they always have their stories and they want to know, what did you find, let me hear your evidence, because they're experiencing things. So we've investigated at a lot of national historic sites, even in San Juan, Puerto Rico at Fort Morro. We actually brought a friend home inadvertently with us, which we believe he was either a navigator or a captain of a ship, because if you go to Fort Morro, you will see that there are charcoal drawings under glass that they have there to protect it.
In the dungeon,
yeah, which has, 18-foot walls?
18-foot walls with a little tiny hole to the outside that lets some air in, but that's all. I mean, how big was that? Maybe a foot?
Yeah.
At the most.
Well, and he was imprisoned there for 22 years during a time when all of the other prisoners died within a few days to a few weeks of yellow fever and things like that. And so we were in the dungeon by ourselves, and I said to him, I know that you must have been a leader, or you wouldn't have known the geography that you knew. That's how we could tell, by the ships and the way that Florida was and Puerto Rico were drawn in.
So on the wall. Yeah.
The regular sailors didn't know that kind of thing. And I said, as a leader, it must have been very difficult to watch all these people dying beside you for all those years. And I've heard from the rangers that you were imprisoned unjustly. And we would like to tell your story if you'd like to speak to us. And so here we are. It's in over probably 100 degrees in Puerto Rico. And it was very hot in the dungeon, very hot.
Very little air coming in, that's for sure.
And all of a sudden on my right side, everything turned ice cold and all my hair stood up on end. And I knew he was there.
And I could feel that too. So.
Yeah. And you were filming it.
Yeah.
And so then, just then, three women, because it's a tourist place, three women came in laughing and joking and having a good time on their vacation, of course. And that immediately left, went just like it was sucked out by a vacuum. When we got home sometime later, all of a sudden we would see a dark shadow pass in front of our bay windows in our kitchen. The door to our front porch would open and close. There would be banging on the walls.
All sorts of fun.
And other people would hear it too.
Wow.
Our kids would be visiting and they would get up to answer the door because they would hear someone open. Our porch, there was a porch that led into our front door. So you would hear the screen door scrape over the slate every time. And they would get up to answer the door for us and there'd be nobody there. And so then finally we just started saying, oh, that's my captain. And Rob had to go to Virginia, and my oldest daughter, who still lives in Orange County, came to visit and stay for a while. And she was in sleeping in my room because other people were occupying the other bedrooms. And she went out to coffee with her sisters, of whom she has four. As Stephen said, we have six kids, one boy and five girls. And she went out with all the girls for coffee. And she said, and I don't know what I was doing, but I didn't go. And she said, okay, don't tell Mom, but Mom's house is haunted because last night when we were sleeping, something started shaking the bed and banging it against the wall, and Mom didn't even wake up. And the girls started to laugh, and they said, oh, that's the captain. He shakes Mom's bed so much that she doesn't even pay attention to him anymore. He was very unhappy with me at that point because I hadn't told her, but I honestly didn't think about it. And then finally I had to ask him to either go back to Fort Morrow or to go on into the light and stop futzing around, I would tell him his story. So I've told his story as many times as I can, that everyone would know that he was innocent. He did leave. That he was innocent, that he was unjustly imprisoned for 22 years and really endured a lot of pain and suffering during those 22 years. So that's our captain story and our little friend coming back with us from a trip.
Well, if he follows you back, he got out of Puerto Rico, got to see some of the world.
Yeah, he got out of that dungeon.
Yeah, I'm very interested in the paranormal. You know, I have my own thoughts and theories on it and whatnot, but I've had experiences, and a couple of these experiences have been witnessed by others. So I know it wasn't just me hallucinating or anything like that, but what are some of these? Have you ever like caught like EVPs and things like that?
Oh yeah.
Yes, we have. We've caught EVPs. Actually, I think we have, if you go to carternovels.com in the paranormal corner, I think we have two things there, two little film clips, right? A minute out of a 45-minute conversation we had with an entity that said he was Pete, who had been the lighthouse keeper at the St. Augustine Lighthouse. We were investigating there, and he was speaking to us through flashlight, turning a flashlight on and off, so you can see about a minute of that. And then there was an SLS camera that we have video of two people hanging in the hanging tree in Gettysburg. And you can see that. I mean, it's stick figures, so it's not like you're going to see something gory. But I don't think we have – I can't remember whether we have any EVPs up there.
No, we didn't put any EVPs on there.
But, yeah, we – let's see. Fort – what
Mifflin?
Is more, Fort Mifflin.
Fort Mifflin,
this
taught
us a good one. Yeah,
I remember that Ghost Hunters did an episode from there, which was really interesting.
Did they?
The old TV show. Yeah.
We've gone investigating with some of those guys. Let's see, Fort Mifflin. What happened there? Okay, this is when I learned not to move on too fast. I had asked, "Is there anyone here who would like to speak with us?"
And you had your recorder going.
I had my recorder going, and I didn't play it back right away. As a matter of fact, I didn't play it back until after.
Months later,
when I finally was reviewing all my, evidence. And as soon as I said that, a man's voice said, "I would like to." And I never asked him a question because I didn't play it back and listen to it. So
it was only caught on the EVP. It wasn't the voice.
Oh, no, it wasn't an audible voice that I heard. Nope.
Yeah.
So that's how it was.
Wow.
Yeah, I caught an EVP here just maybe 2 years ago. And I've never had, I had an experience with one that was just kind of some breathing back in the 80s. And we weren't ghost hunting or anything. We were, partying. We were recording us we were partying. And you can hear something over there breathing on it, and nobody was near the recorder, but that can be chalked up as well, whatever. But here, a couple of years ago, I'm sitting in my living room by myself, and I'm doing I had Snapchat on, but I didn't broadcast on Snapchat. I just used their filters. And I had this cat filter. So I looked like a cat, and it changes your voice. So it's really high up there like that. And as I started to do this spiel about feeling catty or whatever, there's a voice that's not going through the voice changer, and it clear as a bell whispers my name, my real name, whispers it right there.
Yeah.
And you can hear it. I still got it. I played it for numerous people and said, what do you hear right there? And they tell me, somebody said your name. Who was that? You know, and it was a soft voice. It was a male voice, and I don't know who it was, what it was. Can't explain it, but it's there. Something whispered my name. So that was my experience.
Because usually when you do get EVPs, it sounds like a throaty whisper. Usually that's what you pick up, you know? We had another one where we heard, I am here. Okay, I am here. And so that's why the one at Fort Mifflin was remarkable, because
it was a clear voice. Yeah.
And
it was like under the sound.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I've watched the Ghost Hunter shows, Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventures. I watched those for years, and that's always the fascinating part, is catching the EVP.
And me, I like the sitcom called Ghosts.
I do too.
I love that show. That's a hoot.
That is hilarious.
Yeah.
We really like it too.
There's a British version also, but I think I like the characters in the American one.
Me too.
Yeah, yeah.
Me too. It is
so, Beam,
you want to play
another commercial here, and then I understand we have a call?
Yes, we do. All right. So this one is going to be another book that I edited. This is Jenny Wong's book. You can go to jennywongauthor.com and get a signed hardcover copy of this book. Girl, Where's Those Shoes?
Aspiring young Chinese immigrant, GGO, survives by working as a stripper, but she strives for true success in the U.S. real estate industry. Navigating this highly competitive business is tough, especially when her only support comes from the deeply flawed man she loves and her old cohorts from the strip club. Issues of betrayal and trust, loyalty and commitment complicate her goals, even as one lesbian friend adds new dimensions to her understanding of love versus desire. Then the market crashes and financial turmoil threatens to rob GGO of all she has achieved. Can she find new ways to chase her dreams and still manage to keep her clothes on? Or might she find a better reason to take them off? Girl Wears Those Shoes is a tale of love and power. The story of one woman who wants to make the world her own, if only she can figure out how. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, Girl Wears Those Shoes is available in all hardcover, softcover, and all digital formats worldwide.
And that's another one we are working on an audiobook for, and that's coming along nicely. Voiceover artist works at a different pace than the one that Robert G. Willis-Croft's artist works. So this one's going to probably take a little longer, but what we've got done so far is quite excellent.
Yeah, that voiceover was done by actress Vivian An. She's Taiwanese, and she's an actress in L.A. right now. She's the one who's doing the audiobook as well.
All right. So we do have a comment here on Twitter, and then we will take this phone call. Robert G. Willis-Croft says, you guys are interesting, but consider me skeptic, open-minded. But skeptical. Well, that's me too. I've got my own thoughts and theories on what it is. You know, I don't necessarily know that it's somebody that's died and sticking around, but there's an energy of some sort, and I don't know. How about we take this phone call, though?
Can we comment on that first?
Sure, go ahead.
Sure.
I just wanted to let the person that commented know that we are skeptical too. The first thing we do is debunk. We debunk.
Yeah.
We look at things every which way that we can, everywhere way possible, to find the physical reason for something. You know, and before we even give it, I mean, there's a lot of people that use like the SLS camera that draws the stick figures, you know, and they use it incorrectly. It's made to form human figures, but it looks for those patterns. Like you could be looking at a towel hanging up on a door or on a chair, and it could try to form a person there. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
You have to be really careful with that. You know, so you have to really try to debunk things first, you know.
And I think that in order to be a good paranormal investigator, you have to be a skeptic. You have to have healthy skepticism.
Definitely.
Because even if you're asking questions and you're getting answers, okay, you don't really know who or what you're talking to. Like you said, it could be anything. It is some kind of energy, and for sure you don't know for real. I mean, none of us knows for real what that is. And also, I want to say that every time we see or hear something, we're just as surprised every time as we were the first time.
Right.
So it's we're not saying that it absolutely is. This is what we think it is, and this is what this entity purported to be through, I mean, just hours and hours and hours of talking with this entity and having him answer through either flashlights or, you know, touching things and stuff like that and making things move and getting yes or no answers. And so it's you can't say it's a precise science or that that's the absolute truth. It isn't. No one knows.
Nobody really knows.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's one of these unknown things, and you know, I don't claim to know what it is. I just know that, you know, I've had this experience, and, you know,
exactly.
You can validate your experience.
Yeah, the thing with my experience is I sat there and I probably did, I don't know, 6 or 7 of those little filter videos that afternoon, sitting there by myself, just bored and playing around with this Snapchat stuff. And did 6 or 7 of them and was going through them. And it was when I didn't hear this while I was doing it. I was going through the ones and thought, all right, keep any of these. What am I going to do with them? Post them on Instagram or something maybe. And I come across this one where, boom, it's my name. It's clear as a bell. I mean, you could hear it. It's somebody said my name. And they were not talking through the voice synthesizer that I was talking through where it changed my voice. So, I mean, I don't know what to make of it, but I played it for a bunch of people and they all heard it and they all said it. Somebody's saying your name. And, you know, a couple of people asked, well, who was in the house with you? And it's like, nobody. My mom was here, but she was in the other room. She was doing something in the other room, and it's not her voice. It's clearly not her voice. I know my mom's voice, but, you know.
So we have a caller?
Yes, we do. We have a caller. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. You are on the air. Where are you calling from and what is your name?
Hey, this is Joe from Charlotte, North Carolina. How are
you
guys tonight?
Hello, Joe. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, thank
Hi,
you.
Joe.
Probably no surprise to Robin Joan that I would be the one calling in.
Okay. Well, we're going to look for you every week now, Joe.
Absolutely. I got you. I understand. Well, listen, a couple things. One, I just wanted to say first to Rob and Joan, I wanted to thank you guys for the support that you give the indie authors. It's absolutely amazing, and I, for one, have benefited from it, and I just wanted you guys to know that, and I wanted to say that publicly out there so that people really kind of understand, you know, the type of support you give all the indie authors and everyone that's trying to get their work out there. So thank you for that, first off.
You're welcome. Thank you, Joe.
Oh, absolutely. And then the other thing is, as you know, probably like everyone, I have a very large TBR list, and I told you guys a few weeks back that I had downloaded a copy of BioPrints, and I finally got it started here. So far so good. I'm enjoying it, and I'm hoping to get that wrapped up this week, and I'll get that that review out there for you guys. So nice job on that. Which leads me into my actual question. A while back, Joan, on one of
the other podcast. It might have been even the one where you had the paranormal people on there. You had talked a little bit about the idea of maybe putting together a paranormal detective series. And I was just curious if you had thought any more about that, or whether that's something that's actually in the works, or what you're thinking there.
Yeah, we actually started that one.
Yeah.
We've already
started that.
And that's something I thought about for the last, probably 6 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
But were you listening when I said I was having so much trouble conveying sarcasm?
Me? Yeah. I've heard a lot of them.
It was that book that we're writing right now, and it was a conversation between two friends, and I am trying to get across the sarcasm because, you know, that's the only way my family communicates.
Stephen hasn't written a how-to book on sarcasm. Yeah.
A lot of families, that's the only way they communicate.
It's really hard to communicate it without, you know, just boring people to death with facial expressions and that sort of thing. But I really wanted to, I've been stuck on this one conversation and it's driving me nuts.
But yeah, it's a work in progress.
Yeah. Yeah. We have started it.
Well, good.
And the basis of that is that a psychic husband is a homicide detective and he's been murdered. And now he's going to help her solve his murder.
His own murder.
So that's kind of interesting.
Ooh. Yeah. I like that.
That sounds very cool. And I knew you guys had the background to put something like that together that would be very interesting. So I was just curious as to, you know, if you really were bringing that to fruition, and it's good to hear that you are. Fantastic. Mm.
Thanks.
Baby steps.
Yeah, baby steps.
Yes, I understand that one, believe me.
Yeah. Well,
thank you.
Thanks for calling in, Joe. It was good hearing from you.
Thank you. I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks, Joe.
Beam, you want to bang out another commercial real quick?
Sure.
Hello, Chattanooga. Famous people who have visited the Tennessee Valley. Features photos, stories, and complete listings of the entertainers, athletes, political leaders, and others who visited the area since 1900. Chattanooga has attracted some of the best-known celebrities in the world, thanks to our city's historic venues, beautiful scenery, and powerful people. Hello Chattanooga features hundreds of restored photos, behind-the-scenes stories, and thousands of fully indexed entries spanning more than 700 pages. I'm David Carroll. I've worked in Chattanooga television and radio for more than 40 years. I also write a weekly newspaper column and have written two other books, Chattanooga Radio and Television, A Photo History of Chattanooga Media, and Volunteer Bama Dog, A TV Guy's Love Letter to the South, a collection of my most popular stories. Hello Chattanooga is proudly published by Fresh Ink Group in a keepsake, jacketed, hardcover edition with full-color interior printing, softcover with black and white photos, and all-color ebook formats worldwide. Take a trip back in time, enjoy great memories, and maybe even settle an argument as you learn the dates and places that your favorite star, athlete, or president visited the Chattanooga area.
Another really cool day. Did some of the categorizing these pages and whatnot, and it's just a cool book.
710 pages, just chock full of pictures and info and all kinds of good stuff. And I thought this would be a kind of a small regional book, but it right now it's in our top five print bestsellers in both hardcover and softcover. It's one of the books that's the hardcovers are actually outselling the softcovers.
All right.
So, Rob and Joan, what's your writing process like? Everything that you do, you write together, you're co-authors, and how do you coordinate something like that when one feels like writing, one doesn't? You know, do you have a set time that you write or daily goals or throw things at each other? How's that work?
Only throw things. No, we don't. Well, we sit down and we just start talking.
Yeah.
You know,
and writing.
Working it out, hammering it out.
Yeah. And writing and then rewriting.
Let the characters do their thing, you know?
Yeah, I know.
God, imagine if you outlined, huh?
Yeah, my fingers would be so tired.
So is there like one in particular is the person with fingers on the keys and then you're both throwing out the ideas, or is it kind of go back and forth?
Pretty much do the typing.
Rob is the typist.
Hmm. Okay.
He does.
And then you both go through the drafts and you know, make improvements and edits and things like that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Constantly. You know what it's like.
Yeah.
Constantly coming back.
How about like beta readers or outside editors? Do you involve other people?
Oh,
in
yeah.
That?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
How about some shout-outs?
You want
to name some names, give some credit? Because that's what these shows are about, is help getting people's names out there and giving them some credit.
Actually, I don't think our beta readers would want any credit.
Okay. Okay. Any professional editors?
Editors?
No,
yeah.
The editors that we used had been editors for other, different types of publishing, and I think the next time we would use an editor that did novels, but neither of our editors had ever done novels before, and I think probably we'll do that. So
and we did a lot of our own editing.
Yeah.
Hours
and hours. And then they went over and edited again. And,
yeah.
But they were used to editing like magazines and weekly magazines and things like that.
So your three novels now, these are all three in a series, right? Bioprints and then Flash Zombies is the second and Clone Drones is the third book?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one continuous story. Why don't you walk us through all three of them? Tell us about Bioprints first.
Yeah. They do stand alone, but...
Yeah.
Basically, it's about Ryan O'Rourke, and he's... a certified insurance fraud investigator, and then he has a team of people that work for him. And it starts off with one of his friends is missing. It's the person that got him into insurance fraud investigator. And by the way, we had people that read the book that said, that's a made-up thing, because there wouldn't really be insurance fraud investigator, would there? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, there are.
Oh, that's big.
It's very big. Anyway, his best friend from college who got him into this field is missing. And then he...
And he had sent him a cryptic message.
Voicemail.
It was in an envelope.
Oh, in the envelope, yeah. Too, yeah.
And a voicemail.
Yeah.
Trying to reach him, but... He sent the cryptic message to Ryan, and then he couldn't catch him. He couldn't get back in touch with him. But the cryptic message Ryan had to find out. It actually led to the 3D body parts problem.
Being bioprinted.
Yeah, being bioprinted. So.
So I'd say there's four main characters, okay?
Yeah.
Actually, Ryan and Siobhan, turns out to be his love interest, okay? She works for him. She's his assistant. And then Rachel Parks, there's a lot of people, but Rachel is probably one of my favorite characters. She's intelligent. She's funny. She loves guns and is never more happy than if Ryan asks her to buy more guns for the office and she can go out and look at them and shoot them and have a good time doing that. And then Tony Bennett-Shelley, who is an investigator for the man that Ryan is looking for. And
out on the West Coast.
Out on the West Coast. And
most of the book takes place in the Chicago
region. And then Ryan uses Tony, and then Tony and Rachel end up being an item. And so those four characters are going to be in all three books in some form or another. And Flash Zombies is about two different stories, actually, right? It's about dealing, he's looking into drugs that are being pilfered from a hospital. Ryan is, he's got that job. And it's actually being pilfered by a Latino gang, all right? And then he's looking into a bunch of jewelry heists that are a flash mob of zombies will come up and perform in front of the windows of a high-end jewelry store, and then things are missing. And That's what that book is about. And then Clone Drones gets back into the bioprinting and the 3D printing. I mean, it's not bioprinting. They're taking drones and they're manufacturing them. They're printing them themselves and they're weaponizing them. And they're assassinating senators. So that is basically what that's about. And that is kind of chasing all over the country.
I especially like the covers of all three of those books. Back in the day, I used
Thank
to put out
so
promotions
much.
And stuff for you. In fact, I grabbed the zombies for the background of your placard promoting today's show just because that was one of my favorites. How do you get your covers done?
We do them.
We just make them up ourselves.
Ah.
Cool.
Oh.
Good work.
Actually, we've
That's very impressive.
The clone drones, the drone on the cover of the book.
We changed that.
Paperback book, we changed that. So it's a more formidable drone than the one that's on the original cover.
But I'll tell you what did happen was, so the drones are just regular drones that have been weaponized, right? They're not like drones that you
They're
see that
military
fly.
Drones.
So, yes, right. And, and you know, no one had done that in real life, but we did it in the book. And then this 18-year-old kid, I believe up in New York State, actually.
He was in New York State.
Did that. He weaponized a drone. And we were like, oh, my God. Shades
you didn't get
twilight.
A knock at the door, did you?
No. Well, here's, you want to know something funny? My brother's retired ATF, so that would have been bad.
Wow.
If my brother had to come and investigate why we were inciting that. And then after that, on Hawaii 5-0, they showed a weaponized drone coming down the street, a regular drone, and shooting everybody up on the street. And that was after our book had come out, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, what can we expect from book four?
Book four, we're going to have them go to the Caribbean.
Well, it's going to be based on the Caribbean.
And book four, spoiler alert, Ryan and Siobhan are finally getting married, which was supposed to happen in book three, but you're going to have to read book three to find out why they didn't get married in book three.
All right. We do have another caller. Would you like to take the caller?
Go.
All right. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. You are on the air. Where are you calling from, and what's your name?
Hey, this is Verwayne. I'm in Florida. Oh,
greetings, Verwayne.
Hey,
welcome
Verwayne.
To the show.
Hey, Verwayne.
Thank you. Hey, I have run into some interesting things. I was a paramedic for a long time, and I think if you went and talked to any longtime paramedics who got into some really horrific stuff, you'd find out some things kind of like I've experienced. I'm going to tell you about two real quick ones here. One was a gentleman named Jerry that was in 1973. He accidentally broadsided somebody. They pulled in front of him. And he was a big, tall, hulky guy. I mean, like 6'6". And he was driving a 74 Ford Maverick that had clutched. And his legs were hopelessly caught up in the pedals and whatnot. But he had got what we call flail chest, where the chest ribs are shattered to the point where they can no longer support breathing. And it was there were multiple injuries there, and I ended up staying there while he died. And I talked to him, and he said that, you know, you have a hard time talking to people. You should have to talk to somebody who knows that they're dying, and they know they're dying, and they're and I ended up talking to this gentleman, and I took notes. He told me people he wanted me to deliver certain messages. Well, before we were able to get his body out, he passed. As I was leaving, I heard something squealing, and I ended up finding this hearing aid piece. I had just kind of put it in my pocket and never even thought twice about it. a few weeks down the road, all of a sudden I'm sitting there and I see this big shadow in the doorway. I didn't think nothing of it. And finally one night, my partner's sitting there and saw him and he says, I asked him, I says, what's going on? He says, you're going to think I'm crazy. He says, but I'm seeing somebody stand in that window. Well, his name, we called him Jerry. Jerry followed us around for years, but then he just kind of drifted away. And what I was told when I went talking to somebody, that a person who dies young or very unexpectedly cannot, quote unquote, rest until they come to terms with their death. And I have found that to be fairly much true, you know, realizing the skepticism and all that stuff that goes with this. They'll stay with us for a long time. Then Jerry was a friend. Now, Debbie, on the other hand, if you're traveling across M46 over on the west side of towards Muskegon there in Michigan, there is a tree. This girl was about 19 years old, was going across M46. I won't tell you the town she was near, but the road kind of just veered ever so slightly to the south, and she maintained her course, dropped off the edge, flipped it, and then she hit the only tree within probably a half mile either direction, and she hit it dead on. And she, the tree was burned all the way up through there, 60-some feet up. Well, my partner and I got called out to, we were called the dynamic duo, because if you got to something that nobody else wanted to handle, they'd always call us because we could extract these people out of bad scenes. Well, long story short, the drive shaft of that car was buried right in the base of the tree, corkscrewed into the ground, because they figured she hit that tree at about 100 mile an hour. Well, we grabbed that corkscrew just because it was interesting, corkscrew drive shaft. Well, Debbie wasn't anywhere near as friendly, and we would hear her screaming at night. We would hear her screaming in our house.
Wow.
Long story short, she eventually went away, but we had others who actually saw Jerry. In fact, one night we had some people staying over, and we would always go to bed with the radio on, and somebody said, man, that radio is awful loud. It was dark in there. And somebody said, the radio's on awful loud. And I said, oh, that's Jerry. He's listening. He's kind of deaf. I said, Jerry, turn the radio down, would you please? And lo and behold, that volume went down. Just as sure as I'm telling you this story, that happened. But Jerry also, when I had some emergency surgery in Grand Rapids, Jerry showed up and told my wife and who had our newborn daughter, went in there and assured my wife that I was going to be all right. Well, I've taken I'm not pushing my story, but I've taken all the things that I've, the weird things I've come across, and I melded them all into one story that's just called The Haunting of a Small Town. And everything it's wrote in there were things that actually happened to me that I witnessed. But I firmly believe that people who die unexpectedly, and generally when we were at an accident scene is when we would often have, quote-unquote, spirits hang around for quite a little while with us, but they would stay with us for a long time. And I was told by somebody that it was basically until they reconciled their own death, they couldn't pass. You've heard the astral plane business. I don't know true, false, and different, but...
So, okay,
that's
so
what I've heard.
So, Rob and Joan, as investigators, have you ever come into any kind of situation like that where a recent tragedy has happened?
A recent tragedy?
Yeah, like what Irwin was talking about. Somebody has, you know, passed away recently and you're investigating that thing?
No, usually the investigations that we do, it's people who don't understand what's happening in their house and want us to come in, and it's not like someone just died or anything like that.
But then there's Gettysburg.
Yeah, Getty's crazy. But I think that is a line of thought that anyone who dies violently, you know, or even commit suicide, that they find it hard to pass on.
Trauma.
Yeah. Murdered, they find it difficult to move on.
Yeah.
And
in places like Gettysburg, where there's been so much violence and bloodshed and trauma and pain and agony, you know, there's lots of spirits there.
Yeah, I've seen some pretty cool footage from Gettysburg from some of the ghost hunting crews that have been out there too. Just really interesting stuff.
I think anybody that goes there can feel it, whether you're sensitive or not. You know, you're going to feel it in Gettysburg, but definitely trauma does. You know, there's such a thing as there's an intelligent haunt and a residual haunt, and a residual is more like a tape playing over and over again. And it's because certain things that were so tragic or violent or horrible might stay there in that place and just keep playing over. Okay. And so if you would ask that entity questions or try to interact with it, you're not going to get anything except the same thing happening over and over again. It's like an echo of time. I don't know how else to explain that. And then there is an intelligent haunt where something's actually interacting with you, which if you have a minute, I'll tell real quick what happened here recently in our house because it was weird. I had laundered three pairs of Skechers, okay? Those are sneakers, right? What we old people call sneakers. I don't know what you call them nowadays. But I had washed three of them in the washing machine. And I had a little chenille rug that I put down in our bathroom, and I set them up to dry in there so they'd be out of the way and they would be on a tile floor that wouldn't matter if it got a little damp. So I had two pairs side by side in the front and one pair in back behind that.
All in the same direction.
All in the same direction. And I took pictures of this, not the before. The before I had a stage because before I didn't know it was going to be a before and that there would be an after. Mm-hmm. But also, there's a red cup on a distilled water bottle in there that my husband uses for his CPAP machine because he, you know, has sleep apnea. And that's always sitting on the top of that distilled water. So that was there. So I went into the bathroom in the afternoon, and the red cup was sitting in front of a pair of the sneakers upright, perfectly upright. And
it's
four feet
away from them.
Oh, for good.
The
yeah, good. And I just thought that Rob had used it and set it down there for some reason, and I didn't bother it because, you know, if he wanted it there, he could have it.
Why
there.
I would have done that?
I don't know.
I don't know.
But I thought maybe he did. Then later on, we were getting ready for bed, and I walked into the bathroom again, and there's the two pair of sneakers are pointing in the direction they were, and the third pair that was behind those two were now placed very neatly, horizontally behind the other two pair.
Mischief.
So I said, Rob, why did you move my sneakers like that?
I said, I haven't even been in here.
We have other bathrooms in the house, and he hadn't been here. And I said, and did you put that red cup there? He said, no.
I thought you did.
So we then spent half an hour trying to knock the damn cup to land upright, and it wouldn't. It would just fall over and roll. And really, there's no way. We live with a 9.5-pound dog who, believe me, couldn't have lined up my sneakers perfectly if she wanted to. And it's a chenille rug with chenille on both sides. It has no rubber backing, and if anyone had twisted it or bumped into it, the whole rug would have been messed up. So how did that happen? I'm curious, sir. And here's the frustrating thing that's very common in anything paranormal. So then you assume someone's trying to get in touch with you, right? They're making themselves known because they do wackadoo things like that when they want the attention. And you ask questions, you bring out your recorders, you try and talk to them, and it's nothing. So what is the point of that?
Nothing but crickets.
Yeah. Still don't know how that happens. It's weird.
Yeah.
Weird
like
but fun.
Steven said something like it's mischievous.
Yeah. Somebody just messing with you.
Verwayne, thank you for calling in.
Yeah.
Did you have anything else that you wanted to add?
Nope, we're good. We're good. Thank you. I appreciate it. I enjoyed the other show with Steven.
Yeah.
Thanks
for all your support.
You know, I do believe that you've seen and heard a lot being in your line of work, and thank you for, you know, your service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not an easy job.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Robin
Jones.
See you
next time.
You've got the three novels out. How did you publish those? You did that yourself?
Uh-huh, we did through Amazon.
Okay,
like
so
a lot
they're
of people do.
So they're available only on Amazon, or are they also other retailers?
Well, they're available on, you know, through the Amazon system, and they put them out on different places, Barnes and Nobles.
Okay.
And,
yeah, because they have the option where you can distribute to other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So
Walmart,
Barnes and Noble, and other stores, they should be able to find your books.
And
great.
BioPrints is on Audible.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
Now, one of our favorite questions as we're trying to wrap up, you said that this is one of your favorite questions that you ask on your show, too. That's, do you have any advice for the authors out there?
Yeah. Start. A lot of people talk about writing and don't write. Start. Write and write and write and write and what is it that Caleb always says? Write for 500 words a day.
Yeah.
And by the end of 6 months, you'll have yourself a book. And he's right. Just start to write.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Go
if you
back.
Don't write anything, you won't.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You'll have nothing.
But if you listen to Stephen, you have to outline first and then write.
Well, I see a lot of people on Twitter that follow me, and I usually read the bio. Their bio is on Twitter before I go back, just to, you know, to make sure this is somebody I want to follow. And there's a lot of young writers out there, and even older writers, and they always put in their bio that they're an aspiring writer. So I'll follow them back and say, you're not aspiring. You're either a writer or you're not. There's no aspiring. If you're writing something, even if nobody's reading it right now, you're a writer. Stop with the aspiring, because that's an excuse for, well, I'm an aspiring writer, so I don't have to write today.
Maybe you're published, maybe you're not. Yeah.
Exactly.
But you're still a writer. Yep.
Yes.
If you're a writer, you're a writer. And it doesn't matter what you've got published or you don't have published. You're writing because you want to write. You know, you have to write.
And then once you get a book out there, networking is so important for indie published authors.
Yeah,
it is.
You don't network, you have no base, you know. There's billions of books out there, you know.
And you know what I want to say? Authors are the most amazing people. They are all, you know, we've been helped by so many authors. When we first started out, people were so kind and so helpful. And just listening to you guys talk, you're trying to help everybody. You're giving them a leg up and a boost and helping them along the way. And we always say that the podcast is the story behind the story, because we're learning about you authors. And everybody has been wonderful. And some of the challenges that our authors have had to overcome to do what they do and the lives that they have are so inspiring. It's really been wonderful doing this podcast and meeting all of the authors that we meet. We haven't met any that we didn't like. They're all amazing people. And
And speaking of which, Paul Hollis, which I believe somebody I saw leave a comment on your podcast, he's over on Twitter right now touting this show. Awesome show right now with Joan and Rob Carter, paranormal investigators, novelists, and all-around supporters of indie authors. Tune in.
Yeah.
And, that's a good point that you make. Indie authors are very supportive of each other for the most part.
Yeah.
And they can accomplish a lot for each other, helping get the word out there. If nothing else, they understand the value of posting those reviews and making the recommendations and, you know, getting the word out about the books that they've liked. If you discover an author you like, if you discover a book that you like, tell the world.
Indeed.
Paul Hollis writes the Hollow Man series, and he was the first person that started helping us. He's a great guy, and he does. He helps all kinds of new authors. And
say his name again.
Paul Hollis, the Hollow Man series.
H-O-L-L-I-S, Paul Hollis.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, check out the Hollow Man series.
Yeah, now, how can people reach you on social media? How can they contact you? You got a blog,
find you anywhere.
The best place to go, I think, would be indiebookshorse.com. There you'll find all of our Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube.
LinkedIn.
You'll find out about our Meet the Author podcast. You'll find out our store. We have a merch store on there that sells the reading-themed products, hoodies, mugs, magnets.
And Joe Conjul, some of his products are
Joe
there.
Joe Conjul has his products
George
on
the
there.
George Dismukes and Paul Hollis all are selling stuff in that merchandise store, too.
So, you know, that, and then there's over 100 authors that we that have their books landing pages on our site, and they all you can shop for books, you can shop for merchandise, you can do just about anything.
And we have books of every genre on there. So anything that you would be interested in, you're going to find an author that's doing it and doing it.
It's
well.
A reasonably priced promotional thing for for the struggling indie author, and that's why we're doing it.
Yeah.
Not to get rich or anything, because that ain't going to happen.
No. Now, I get my weekly invite for your podcast, your vodcast, your video podcast, through LinkedIn. Is there, what's the quick, easy way that you can tell our audience that they can get that weekly invite so that they can check podcast out?
If we go to Meet the Author YouTube, they can subscribe to the channel and then they'll get an invite. If they go to our Facebook page, Meet the Author Facebook,
we'll
get an invite. If we say it's an event, they'll get an invite.
I usually put out events on Facebook and on LinkedIn. And I do the invites myself, so I just go through as many as I can get in there, as many as they'll let me. And it's slowly been growing. We weren't doing any LinkedIn about 4 months ago, so now we're getting quite a few people watching on there.
Mm-hmm. And we get a lot of downloads as a podcast starting, you know, tomorrow morning. There will be people that have downloaded your episode.
Right.
Oh yeah, you're gonna break all the records. Oh no question about that.
No doubt.
Yeah. Well, Joan and Rob, we have thoroughly enjoyed meeting you again, and you know, we go way back, but we don't get to talk very often, it seems. And having you being a guest on your show for me was quite a thrill, and of course, both of us are very, very happy and proud to have had you on our show.
Yeah.
Well, we're planning on having Beam on our show here in the months to come.
Yeah. Hey. Now, Beam, we're booked till June, but if you want to come on before the end of the year, I know you have a book coming out then, but if you want to come on before then, you can. Mm-hmm. Just let us know, and then you can come on again when you're going to publish that next book and kind of remind folks that it's
coming. All right. Cool.
Thank you.
Just
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Beam, who we got next week?
Next week on the 30th, we have author Dee Wallace Peach. She's a wonderful person and a talented writer, and you're going to want to tune in for that.
Yeah, I've been a fan of hers for a long time. The week after that, April 6th, that's the show after my surgery, so we're going to have pre-recorded segments from me, even though it's going to be a live show, and I'm going to be teaching about creating characters and giving them dialogue, and then Beam will take your calls, answer questions, or, you know, twiddle his thumbs and kill time if you want to leave him sitting there in between those segments. So that's April 6th. We're looking forward to that.
Call.
I will be listening in. I've been told I might not be able to talk, but we'll do our best. And then what's happening April 13th?
April 13th, we've got Andrea Wingler. She has she's got a book that's coming out through Fresh Ink Group. It's How to Start and Run a Food Truck, and it's food truck business in Florida. But her book will work for other states as well. She's in Florida, so that's why she's written it specifically for Florida. But it's a really interesting book, and if you're thinking about starting a food truck, you're going to want to know the ins and outs. This is the book to get.
And then after that, April 20th, we've got Kenneth Lindquist. He's the founder of Red Mountain Driving Academy. We're putting out two books. He wrote a book that's for driving instructors on how to learn how to be a really top-notch driving instructor, how to get certified in various states, how to pass the tests, you know, all the different requirements and whatnot. And when he brought that to us, we liked it, but we noticed over on Amazon there was books that are for parents on teaching your teenagers how to drive with like 80,000 reviews. So he quickly saw the wisdom in us putting out two editions. One's going to be a parent's edition, and one's going to be an instructor's edition. He'll be our guest on April 20th.
All right. And I guess that does it for us this week. So we will, again, thank you, Rob and Joan, for
thanks, Rob.
Coming,
thanks, Joan.
Spending some of your time on our show and for having Stephen on your show. So we appreciate that.
And thank you for having us.
Thanks
we appreciate that. It was fun.
Great.
Well,
all right.
We'll
see
you
again
next week, everybody. And thanks to all the callers and to those on Twitter. You guys make the show just that much better. So thanks a lot. Talk to you next week, everybody.
Bye.
You've been a part of Voice of Indy, a production of Fresh Ink Group. Spread the word. Support our guests. Then find us at freshinkgroup.com and be sure to hashtag Fresh Ink Group.